Great to see all of you. It's been a few weeks with all the scheduling, and then I was on vacation a little bit, but it's good to be back here with you at the 9:30 liturgy. It's a beautiful celebration to do for today as well for St. Louis, King of France. And I have to say, I didn't know much about this particular saint until coming here to St. Louis. I was like, well, I better learn who our patron is. And I have to say, I probably haven't done the perfect job at that because I bought a book on him and I started reading it and I got about 5 pages in, and that was about 3 months ago. So I still have a little bit more to learn about him. But what I have learned about him is pretty amazing. He is a great patron for this parish and for many parishes. In fact, on the back of our worship aid, you can see all of the parishes in the U.S. that have churches named after St. Louis. I thought that was pretty neat. And I was looking through that earlier. I was like, okay, there's one here, there's one there, and we have two in our diocese, which is pretty cool. But St. Louis is a man who lived holiness in an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. And you'd say, well, how ordinary is being a king? And so I guess you could say maybe a little extraordinary in that regard. But he came to his kingship at 12 years old. He became a king as a child, essentially, and just astoundingly, I guess, you know, just had a great love for God and matured into a great Christian king and man who had eventually fathered 11 children. He had 11 children and really enacted reforms of justice, had a great love for the poor. I found out last night he was a Third Order Franciscan and is a patron of the Third Order Franciscans, which follow the example of St. Francis and care for the poor, which is pretty amazing. And he really wanted to have a system of justice that was fair to the poor, that not only the rich would get justice, but the poor would get justice as well, which we hear as a theme in the scriptures and especially in the Psalms. And we saw that the just man is cares for the poor. It's not only favoring the rich or the wealthy, but really cares for those who don't have those resources for themselves. And he modeled this in his life and his example. He used his kingship not for his own glory, but for the glorification of God and for the care of those who were under his authority. And he also imparted wisdom to his children. There's a great letter in the Office of Readings, if you're familiar with that prayer of the church, on his feast day, which is August 25th, you can go find it, writing to his sons, telling them that whatever you do in this life, avoid any mortal sin, anything that would separate you from God. Avoid with all of your strength and with all of your effort, avoid anything that would separate you in the relationship from the Lord. And he imparted that great wisdom to his children as well. And eventually, he died fighting for the faith. He contracted an illness, but he was on one of the crusades as the Holy Land was invaded. He was part of the one of the crusades to try and free the Holy Land and protect the Christians who were there. And died in service to God, service to his people, service to the poor, and he glorified God with his whole life. And he's a great patron for us as a parish. And there's so much more to learn about him, I'm sure. I can't wait to find out more about his life, and eventually I'll get maybe 10 pages into that book. I have to say, it was hard to find a good book on him. The one I found was written like in the early 1900s, so that's part of why I'm having a challenge with it. It's a great thing to have a patron who gives us a model, an example of life, and also now actively prays for us. We believe that the saints in heaven aren't just indifferent to what's happening, but along with God, who cares about us, they are also praying and interceding for us to the Lord. And so he's a great and special intercessor for us as a parish and for our people. And it's beautiful to have this wonderful relic here as well that makes us feel so close to St. Louis, King of France. Now, I want to highlight maybe 3 things that we can learn from his life, and I know there's many more, but specifically, I was beginning to think about wisdom in regard to our first reading. We hear about wisdom and how it helps the just man be guided by the right paths, and I think this is a beautiful thing about wisdom, that when someone is wise, they know what means will achieve the end which they desire. For example, if you want to be an Olympic athlete, you have to know what sorts of things you have to do to train properly, to eat properly, to discipline yourself, and you have to know what the next steps are. Well, I have to compete in this event. I have to go and do this thing. I have to get this sort of coach. And you know all the things that you have to do. If you have a wisdom, you're able to know what means will help you to make it to your goal of becoming an Olympic athlete. And you also know what things you have to say yes to and what things you have to say no to. So in order to be an Olympic athlete, undoubtedly, you have to say no to eating junk food every day of your life. So you know, this thing is not going to help me achieve the goal which I want to have. And so there's a wisdom of knowing what means will achieve the end for which you want to accomplish. And so a wise person knows then how to navigate through all of the possible things in front of them so as to choose the good thing, the greater thing that they want. Now, it also helps you to value things rightly. If you're a wise person, you know the value of things. For example, if I had an iPhone in my hand up here, which I don't have, if I had an iPhone up here in my hand, so make believe, pretend with me, and I had a brand new Jeep Rubicon over here, and I said, which one is more valuable? Which one would you rather have? Well, you guys all have a certain wisdom. You would know that the Jeep is worth far more monetarily than the iPhone is. And you would say, oh, I want the Jeep, because you could sell the Jeep even and get more money and buy 100 iPhones. You would know the value, the worth of things. And so a wise person sort of knows what's valuable. Well, wisdom in the mind of God means to see things and value things according to how God sees and values things. And so someone who has the higher truths, the truths of God's revelation, the truth of Jesus Christ revealed to us, the truth of the Holy Spirit, is going to know the right value of things in life. We're going to be able to recognize if I said, well, you could have the Jeep Rubicon, or you could have a good relationship with God, you would go, wow, if you have the wisdom of Christ, you would know that your relationship with God is far more valuable than any physical possession you could have. And if I had to ask you to choose between which one you were going to choose, if you had to choose between having this or having a good relationship with God, a wise person would know that I would give up anything to have a good relationship with the Lord. Because with that relationship with the Lord is my happiness and fulfillment, and also it's the promise of eternal life, that one would live forever, to know that one's relationship with God is the most important thing that we can have. And in that too, then our relationship with one another and that love for a neighbor as oneself. We would know then that with wisdom, what the most valuable thing is. And so you then, knowing that this is the most important thing, that we desire to become saints, to be share eternity with God and with one another in a perfect unity without sin or sadness or death for all time. If your goal then is to become a saint, then you're going to, with wisdom, know how to navigate through the world so as to value the right things, to give up the things that would prevent us from achieving that goal, to know the means that will achieve that end. And the means are holiness. The means are virtue. The means are the prayer to God and praise and thanksgiving offered in the Mass, the sacraments. The means are doing good for our neighbor and loving them as ourselves, care for the poor and for the sick, and going to those in prison, and all the things that would lead us through the path of humility through this life, so as to achieve the goal of becoming a saint. And St. Louis is a great example of that wisdom of God at work in one's life, because look at him. He's a king. He's got everything. I mean, like, you think about the people today who have everything. Like, you think about the movie star who makes, you know, $50 million a year and has the big mansion and all the stuff. And we think, oh, man, that person's got it all. Well, St. Louis in his day and time was like that. He kind of had it all. He was a king of an entire nation. Anything he wanted, he could have just sort of lived in the lap of luxury. He could have just sort of been complacent and comfortable and enjoyed his life as it was and just sort of enjoyed all those things. But knowing that his goal was to be with God and value his relationship with God above all things, he knew that that was not wisdom. That's not how he's going to navigate through this life, so as to share an eternity with God forever. And so he looked at that and he navigated through it by saying, what are the things that I have to do and for my family and for others that we can share in this greater good, this more important and more valuable thing, which is life with God for eternity? And he did a great job of navigating through the world in that way, not using things for his own selfish gain, but out of praise and thanksgiving for God and love for his neighbor. And it's a beautiful thing. We innately actually value this, just generally speaking, because of our human nature. You know, when we see a movie star or a politician who's actually doing the things that are care for others, don't we value that? Don't we, like, hold them up and say, wow, that's amazing? I see this stuff online all the time when people are saying, this movie star did such and such a thing, and he's so down to earth, and he really doesn't act all high and mighty, right? It's kind of innately in us to value that. And that's because in that we recognize the good that is there, and truly that we're meant to be that way. That we're meant to be that way, not to use those things for our own selfish gain, but out of praise and thanksgiving to God, which fulfills us, and love for those around us. And we have to fight against our wounded human nature in order to do that. But St. Louis shows us a great way of doing that in the ways that he lived. Now, the second thing I think we can learn from St. Louis is stewardship, because he was given much. He was given much. But he recognized that those things were not his, which is what we hear about in the gospel today, that the king of the universe is the one who entrusts to us all that we have. There's nothing that you have that you really gained for yourself. All of it was something the Lord entrusted to you. You say, well, but I worked hard for that, right? I worked hard for that. Well, who gave you your intellect? Who gave you your will? Who gave you the body that is able to move and act and live in the world? Well, the Lord did. He's the source of everything that you have. Everything is his gift from God. And he desires us to cooperate with those gifts, to make use of them, so as to make an increase on those things, which is good stewardship. And so he entrusts to you your time, your talent, your treasure, your intellect, your will, your body, your health, your families. All of those things are like the talents today in the gospel that are given over to us. We want to use those things to glorify God and to love neighbor and to make an increase in what God has given us. Because when we do those things and we love with God's own heart, to love one another as I have loved you is Christ's commandment, then guess what happens? Others respond in love to love. We know when someone does bad to us, hate begets hate, doesn't it? Well, love begets love, and love can stop hate in its tracks. When someone acts to us with hate and we respond with love, we can stop it dead right there. And we can love somebody in return, and we can beget love in others. And so when we use all that we have to love with God's heart, we give increase, we multiply those talents, rather than just sort of being indifferent and reserved and burying that talent in the ground. We respond with all that we have out of love for God and love for those around us. And we have to discern how we do that in our lives. It's different in everyone's place and state in life. But we're called to use those talents. And St. Louis shows us another great example of that and how he used all those great gifts for glorifying God, right? He used those things well. He was a good steward of his resources, again, not serving selfishly. The third thing I think we can learn from St. Louis is what authority and power is for. Now, he models this, of course, on Jesus Christ, who says to his disciples, his apostles, that the Gentiles lord their power and authority over one another, but with you it shall not be so. The greatest among you shall be the least and the servant of all. And Jesus Christ, who is God himself, who has become a man, humbles himself to be a servant. He even shows us this in the washing of the feet. He takes the role of a slave, of a servant in the household to wash the feet of his apostles. Even though he's the greatest, he becomes the least. And he shows us that power and authority is made use of by God in service to his people. He shows us that kingship, to be a king, is to be a servant. To be one in authority and power is to be one who cares for the least among us. And St. Louis follows that model and example, and he cares for the poor greatly. He's a great friend of the poor. And in a world when we're in a world right now that distrusts power and authority. We distrust anyone who has it for any reason. We think it's bad to even have it in some ways. And that's not what the Lord says. He doesn't say it's bad. He says it's a great responsibility. It's for the service of those who are least. And so which ways you say, well, I'm not super famous. I don't have all this power and authority. Well, there's also littler ways. If you're a mom or you're a dad, that's power and authority in the lives of your children. And it's not for your own gain. It's for the service of your kids to help them to become saints, to evangelize your children, to bring them to the sacraments, to teach them all that God has commanded them to do, to live the Christian life fully so they are happy in this life, but supremely happy and blessed in the life to come. We have the power and authority, and we want to use that in service to those who are under us. Also, you want to do this if you're a boss at work or you're a manager in a position. How do you care for your employees? How do you care for those people coming to? How do you truly love them? Do you ever think about your work that way? How do I love the employees that are in me? Or maybe you have a position in a club of some kind. Maybe you're a coach and volunteer coach of some kind. Or maybe you're part of a ministry and you have a position in ministry. All those things of power and authority, whatever those things may be, where you have a certain standing, well, it's meant to be for the service. As a king, you're meant to kneel down and humble yourself and to serve those who are under your care. When you accept the burden of responsibility, will you take on that responsibility of loving and caring and sacrificing yourself for the good of those persons? And St. Louis, King of France, gives us a great example in this as well, that he doesn't use it for his own selfish gain and his own glory, but again, he humbles himself. And he didn't hold himself apart from the poor, but he actually went to them and cared for them. He did it in service to his children. He did it in service to the world. And it's a beautiful example for us. So, on this great feast day of St. Louis, King of France, as patron of our parish, we can learn a lot from him. But we have to make that interior resolution, yes, to follow that path of humility, to have holy wisdom, to see things and value them according to the mind of God, to navigate through life so as to share an eternity with him. We have to be good stewards of the resources that have been entrusted to our care to glorify God and to serve those who are in need. And we also have to take whatever authority that we're given by God and make sure that we don't misuse that for ourselves, but seek to serve those who are least among us, be that your children, your employees, or whatever that might be in your life, to use that well. Amen.